For the past couple of months, we've brought you the stories of important pieces of music and sound, audio treasures, chosen for the National Recording Registry. The Library of Congress chooses 25 each year. Today, we complete the series by independent producer Ben Manila with the story of Herbie Hancock's Headhunters. It's one of the biggest-selling jazz albums of all time, and the record that helped define a new genre called fusion.
My name's Steve Pond, and I wrote a book called Headhunters, The Making of Jazz's First Platinum Album.
My name is David Rubinson, and I produced the album Headhunters for Columbia Records and Herbie Hancock. When I hear someone like Herbie play, I mean, Herbie plays spoons. Herbie could play pencils. He's just an incredibly gifted musician.
My name's Herbie Hancock. I'm a musician. Basically, I play jazz in various extensions of it. At a certain point, I became the kind of musician that has tunnel vision about jazz. I only listen to jazz and classical music. But then when I noticed that Miles Davis was listening to everything, I mean, he had albums of Jimi Hendrix, he had Beatles records, he had Rolling Stones, James Brown. I started to re-examine this kind of closed attitude that I had. And one of my favorites was Sly Stone, and especially the song Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, which I thought was the funkiest thing I ever heard. And that was one of the biggest influences of me going in the direction of Headhunters in the first place.
What Herbie did was begin to make a funk album, not a jazz one, and in the end found that he couldn't walk away from his own background, that the album was going to have a jazz component to it. It was intensely, in fact, part of a jazz statement.
We made Headhunters in 1973. If you know Herbie, you know he's the most inquisitive person that I've ever met. He has a degree in electronics. And he heard the funk music and he heard what was going on in it. And he put together a band, and they went out on the road, and what we did was we had them play live. Herbie's compositions, but grown and developed in an organic group consciousness band situation playing live. One of the members of the group was Bill Summers. Now, Bill Summers was extremely Afrocentric. He was a scholar in African music.
For the most part, jazz musicians have a kind of an innate curiosity about the various cultures that we're exposed to, and this opens up the possibility of integrating aspects of another culture into this lifeblood of jazz.
One of the songs, Watermelon Man, begins with a recreation on beer bottles of a one-note flute tradition from Central African Pygmies.
People couldn't figure out how that was done. It was incredible. The bottles were tuned to replicate African instruments of the same kind.
The way this the song opens is a combination of voice and whistling into the beer bottle. And there are five different tracks of Bill Summers, you know, making the sound, and all interlocking in a way that is very consistent with West African and Central African music making. And that also, by the way, parallels the way that James Brown's music is put together in a sort of a matrix where the groove is spread out around a whole lot of different instruments, creating this sort of wonderful recycling matrix figure.
You know, traditionally, jazz is a white audience. You go to a jazz concert, mostly white people. But during the Black Awareness period, and when all the young black people in the country are becoming much more aware of their heritage, the Afrocentricity of the music hit home right away.
so much of what Headhunters is about is playing with sound, sounds that really didn't have much precedence in jazz. For example, in Chameleon, that bass line that sounds like it's being played by an electric bass guitar is actually being played by two synthesizers. And what sounds like the guitar line that comes in is actually being played by the bass player. Paul Jackson played at the highest register on the electric bass. Herbie didn't use an electric guitar on this album.
So Herbie discovered the synthesizer at that point, which at that time was analog synthesizer, so it was gigantic walls of dials and buttons and push pins, and we decided that we were going to go for it. Prior to the late 60s, early 70s, the process of recording was basically controlled by the white record companies and the white engineer. I brought Herbie in to all the technical and production aspects, including the mix and the post-production. And with his genius and his talent for electronics, he got what you could do. And he just grokked it, like they say, went boing.
Herbie Hancock's album, Headhunters, preserved for all time in the National Recording Registry at the Library of Congress. Our story was produced by Ben Manila and Media Mechanics. And that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden.